Well, so thankful for Darren to give me the opportunity to come tonight. And it's always a blessing to come back to Bethany here in Pushbine. And as John has already said, I got fond memories. Well, some good memories, some bad memories of Bethany. But it's great to see you all going on with the Lord, and it's great to know and keep up with what's happening here, and especially for the future plans that I've heard about. You know, with the side, it sounds amazing, and all glory goes to the Lord for that. But I'm going to ask you to turn to Daniel chapter 3 tonight. It's a well-known passage of scripture. And it's, you know, as a Christian, we already have the victory, don't we? But here we can see one of the greatest accounts of gaining victory through faith. And we all know the story of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. And I'm sure if some of us went to Sunday school that we would have heard this story. But I didn't go to a very good Sunday school, so I didn't hear about this. So I didn't hear about this story. No, in all honesty, we all know this story, don't we? And let me just ask you a question first. Is there something in your life that you were battling with? You know, let's look at just what happened before in chapter 2. We know that King Neb, I call him King Neb, short. King Nebuchadnezzar, he had a dream, didn't he? And it sort of worried him, this dream. He wasn't sure how to interpret that dream. And we know that Daniel ultimately interpreted for him the dream that he would build a statue, and that statue then all people would have to bow to. So we're just going to focus on chapter number 3 tonight. And we can see that throughout this whole chapter how steadfast these three men remain to the Lord. And even though today we are not made to bow down to statues, I believe we are made to choose. In certain situations, we are, as Christians, we face choices, don't we? And as Christians, we face choices between our faith and the laws of this land. And we also have to choose between our faith and Satan's temptation. Just look quickly at some of the temptations that Satan puts on us, even as Christians. I don't know how you have felt sometimes on a Sunday night, but sometimes I'm tired from the week's work. And Satan just whispers in your ear, just have an early night. I don't know if you've ever felt that way. Or what about the time when you sort of about to pick up your Bible, start to read in the house, and the phone rings. Again, Satan's taken over there, isn't he? What about the time when you know you should be tithing at least your 10%, and Satan whispers in your ear, can you afford that this week? You know, we're in a constant battle, and our faith must shine through. And also, we are made to choose between our faith and the laws of this land. I don't know if you remember not so long ago about the lady who makes wedding cakes. I don't know if you heard about her, but she refused to bake a cake for a homosexual couple. And I'm sure, I think she was fined somewhat about £1,000, I think it was at the time, because she chose to stand strong and to stand steadfast to the Lord. And again, you know, my mother, as you know, works in the NHS, and there's a rule there, she cannot give out tracts. She cannot, it's not right for her to mention the Lord Jesus Christ in work. So there's so many things that Satan uses to attack our faith. And slowly Christianity is becoming a minority. You know, we see throughout the land only churches closing weekly. And I'm sure we all know that the Bible is one of the fastest selling books of all time. And I read a couple of weeks ago, it was the most stolen book of all time as well. But how long do you think this will go on for? You know, slowly we're seeing that the Islamic faith is starting to take over countries, and it's becoming one of the major faiths of this land, isn't it? And can I say that our laws were once based upon the Bible? Our government was a God-fearing government at one time. But now they have a fear of offending, don't they? They have a fear of offending people. The big question I have for you tonight is, will you remain steadfast in the Lord? Will you remain committed? I suppose if we coincide with this chapter, the question is, will you bend or will you bow? Let's look further into the account here in Daniel, and whilst having the thought of having faith in the fire, I'm just going to read verse 1 and 2 to you tonight, and then we'll pick out a few verses then throughout the chapter. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. So there we have it. So the major theme of this chapter is that King Nebuchadnezzar had built this statue, and he wanted practically everyone in the land to bow to this statue. Let's just look at verse 12 here. It says, "There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the provinces of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." We see here already the faith that these three men had for the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that they didn't bow. They didn't follow the crowd. And in verse 12, I entitled this section, "The Accusation." As you can see here, it doesn't take long for word to get back to the king that these three men didn't bow. People noticed straight away, didn't they? I mean, can you imagine the image there? Sort of thousands of people in front of this statue. And when the horn had sounded, everybody bowed. But I'm sure there was a few people looking around to see if anybody hadn't bowed to the statue. And we see there that the news had got back straight to the king that these three men had not bowed. Can I so say that those who choose to follow the Lord, the world is watching you. They are looking for any reason and any excuse to denounce your faith in the Lord. I don't know if you've sort of heard these sayings before. The church, they're full of hypocrites. Or, you call yourself a Christian. See, the world is watching us if we say that we believe in the Lord. They're looking for any reason to denounce our faith. When something goes wrong in the church, it's often the talk of the town, isn't it? And I can bear witness to that at our church. But only recently, I have an illustration for you. We had the church barbecue on Saturday, and we had our barbecue in Barry Sidings. And as always, we gather our rubbish at the end and leave them in the black bags for the council. They come along and take the bags. But somebody had noticed that we were there as a church, and they put a picture up of the bags, and they put on there, "Are you going to take this rubbish, or will the Lord clean it up for you?" But it just goes to show that as a church or as a Christian, we are being watched. And the world is looking for any excuse to mar our faith in the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12 says, all those who live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. There we have it. The Lord even says himself that we will suffer persecution if we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So we know that these three men, they were being watched. And people noticed that they did not bow. And word got straight back to the king. Then verse 14 says, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Here we see the interrogation. They were interrogated by the king himself. He heard the accusations of the people, and he wanted to know the truth. Can I ask how long it will be before we must stand before the law because of what we believe? Now, those who reject the Lord desire to weaken our faith. They try to interrogate us. Do you know, I was reading online a few weeks ago the proof of the existence of Jesus as a man, as Christ on earth. And we know as believers, don't we, that Jesus was a real man. There's many historical books, not only the Bible, that can prove that Jesus was a real man and that he lived. But there was a project about 10 years ago called the Jesus Project. And the main question on the agenda was Jesus a real man? And the conclusion that they came to was, Jesus was a myth. Now it's worth noting that the two men, Maurice Casey and Bart Ehrman, the two major historians, were both self-professing atheists before they began their study. So it just goes to show that, you know, people who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll want nothing to do with him. And in fact, they'll try their hardest to prove that he's not God. Evidence, as we know, far outweighs what they found. And today, historians can prove that Jesus was a real man. And so can we. We have the Bible, don't we? We have the Bible. This proves that Jesus was a real person. And that he says, and that what he says, he is. The world doesn't want Christianity. The world doesn't want Jesus. But can I say the world needs Jesus? There are many governments today, just like King Nebuchadnezzar here, that are interrogating their people. I can think of North Korea at this time. It's one of the major countries that persecutes Christians to this day. But as I said earlier, how long might it be before we come under the interrogation in this country because of what we stand for? Then in verse 15 we read, now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? We see here that the king's patience was wearing thin. He even adds a little bit of sarcasm and says, well, we'll see what your God can do. He gives him the option one more time. He literally says, do or die. And again, this proves to be true around the world today, doesn't it? Where people must choose between their own lives and their faith. They must choose between their own lives and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in this country, we may never have that choice to choose between our own lives. But, you know, we don't know how it's going to pan out in the future, do we, when we are gone? I've had the opportunity to visit Egypt many times, and one of the things that sort of gets to me when I go, especially to Cairo, I don't know if you've been, is when you see the churches there, they have sort of security around them. They have bodyguards outside. They have the walkthroughs. I don't know if you've seen them. You walk through and the magnet, sort of the metal sort of makes the beep. And I just think to myself, these people, they have such faith because they're under attack daily for what they believe. Could you choose between your faith over your life? It's a difficult question, isn't it? In verse 16 to 23, we see their commitments. Verse 16 says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it wont to be heat. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound, into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Here we see their commitment. Here we see how committed these men really are. Verse 16, we see that they were settled in their faith, and they were settled in their decision. They were not careful to answer the king. It says there, verse 16, it says, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. So in other words, they were going through this no matter what was brought their way. They didn't have to go home and speak to their family about it. They knew where they stood with the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't even have to pray about it. They knew in their hearts that this was the right thing to do. And they remained steadfast. Can you imagine the king's face at this time? He's sort of thinking to himself, are these men serious? I'm offering them another chance here. I'm offering them another chance to live. But here we learn how settled they were really in their faith. They knew where they stood in the Lord. And their faith, I believe, was pleasing to God. Verse 17 and 18, we see they were surrendered. I believe this is a picture of true faith. They stood before the king of the land with their lives at stake, and they literally said, our God would deliver us out of the fire. And even if he doesn't, we still won't bow. I believe at this point they sort of remembered the law which was given to Moses. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not bow to any graven image. They were totally surrendered to God. Question is, are we tonight? It's very easy to say we are surrendered, isn't it? But it's another thing to surrender. We can talk the talk, but do we walk the talk? I find it difficult sometimes to sing some of the hymns in our books. I don't know about you, but there's many songs that I find difficult to sing, and some of them are, I don't know, I can name a few, but life is wonderful. Yes, it's wonderful, and it is wonderful if you know the Lord, but life isn't always wonderful, is it? And I think of a song when I think of these three men, All to Jesus I Surrender. When we sing this, do we truly mean the words? Just to pick some of a few of these words out.
All to him I freely give. Do we give freely all the time? I will ever love and trust him. It's not always easy to trust the Lord, is it? You know, in his presence, daily live. I don't always live in his presence. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. It's difficult, isn't it? And I do find it difficult sometimes to sing these songs. But yet again we see that these men were truly surrendered to the Lord. Even Peter in the Bible, he said he would die for Christ. But we know what Peter did, don't we? He denied Christ. What sort of faith do we have? Do we have a faith like Peter when he denied the Lord? Or do we have a faith like these three men and waver in faith? In verses 19 to 23, we see that they were steadfast. We've looked at the account before the king, and we know what their answer was. So now let's look at the account of them going through the fire. Throughout the whole trial, they remained steadfast. And when I say whole, I emphasize on whole, because there's so many times I've gone through something in my life where I've sort of tried to go through in my own strength, and then I rely upon the Lord because I know I'm getting nowhere. Or sometimes I rely upon the Lord first as last and think to myself, Lord, you're not answering my prayer. And sometimes I forget about the Lord when I go through a situation. But it's important to notice here that they stayed steadfast to the Lord throughout the whole trial. The king demanded that the fire would be lit 7 times hotter. So hot that the people who guarded the fire perished. I'm sure that, you know, if I'd seen that fire, if I'd felt the heat, I sort of would go, please King Nebuchadnezzar, let me have another chance. But these men remained steadfast. They had an unwavering faith. They had no doubt in their mind that the Lord was going to deliver them. And even if he doesn't, they still wouldn't bow, they said. No, following Christ isn't easy. But I believe if we remain steadfast in the Lord, he will be with us through every trial. Then verse 24 to 27, we have their companion. I'll just read it quickly. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counsellors, did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. I read on. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains of the king counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Here we see in these verses their companion. Finally, God had honored their faith and their commitment. He did not leave them alone in the midst of the fire. He was with them. We see in verses 24 to 25 the Lord's presence. The king couldn't believe what he was seeing. He even questions his men. He questions, isn't it 3 people we threw in, not 4? Then he admits, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. Can I say that we have no idea what we will face in our lives? We have no idea what fire we will be put through, but we can rest assured that we never have to go through it alone. The Lord's presence is like unlike any other presence. You know, you cannot see him, but you can see him at work. You cannot touch him, but we know that he's there. The Bible says that he's a very present help in trouble. In verses 26 and 27, we see the Lord's provision. Like I said, bear in mind that the men who cast these three men into the fire perished because of how hot the fire was. I don't know, I normally go to a hairdresser's in Anicia, but on this particular day they were shut. So I decided to go to the hairdresser's in Porth. There's a new hairdresser's. There's a Turkish barber. And they can't speak very good English. You sort of say number two, and that's about it. And I was doing my haircut. I thought, right, I'm all finished. It looks nice. And he pulled out this stick. It looked like a big marshmallow on the end. Put white spirits over it. And lit it. And then sort of flicked it in my ears. I thought, all right, okay, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. And, but the smell, I don't know if you've ever sort of singed your hair, but the smell it leaves, isn't it? It's a horrible smell. And I had that smell all day long until I had a shower. But we see here that the fire didn't even touch them. They walked out freely. Not a hair was singed on their head. Nor did they smell of smoke. There was no fire damage at all. This reveals the awesome power and grace of the Lord. This tells us that we can prosper in an impossible situation. The Lord here met their need because they didn't bow, they didn't bend, and in that case they didn't burn. In Psalms 34 verse 19 it says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." The Lord says you're going to go through some stuff in your life. You know, you might be going through something now. But think of Daniel chapter 3. Think of these three men, how steadfast they were in the Lord, and ultimately how the Lord delivered them out of the fiery furnace. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Crabb family. Some of you may have heard of them. But the main singer there is Jason Crabb, and he sings a song, and the words of the chorus goes, "He never promised that the cross would not get heavy, that the hill would not be hard to climb. He never promised victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in, just hold on, our Lord will show up. He'll take you through the fire again." And that's amazing, isn't it? How the Lord can just keep taking you through things in your life. You may be struggling with something in your life tonight. You may have a decision to make. You may be battling with your faith. You may be battling with sort of financial difficulties. You may be battling with a relationship problem. You may be battling with a work problem. You may be battling with a church problem. But just remember the faith of these three men and what the Lord did for them. He can do for you. When a situation seems bleak, have faith in the Lord. Remember the faith of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. God showed up for them and he can show up for you. They were not alone because they had faith through the fire.